With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome back to another spring training episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall. And I'm joined by a man who's already in mid-season form. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you tonight, buddy?
I'm dandy. Ready to rock and roll, get some baseball underway.
Yeah, we have a very special guest on tonight's show. Are you prepared to be enlightened and hopefully exhilarated about our most overlooked minor league affiliate?
Absolutely. I'm a little worried about if I'm supposed to refer to this in the past or future tense. Because
Both, I think.
Both. Okay. Yeah. You're going to really enjoy this upcoming past conversation that we had with, the Erie Seawolves general manager, Greg Coleman. Really super interesting. A lot of, dynamics right now going on in minor league baseball. So you'll get to hear some of that. And, he is doing a great job there in Erie. And I thought it was pretty fascinating.
I mean, maybe as this future conversation is about to happen. We'll see. So, Eric, I don't know if you've noticed, but since last season, baseball has had a bit of a controversy. And let's be sure to mention that it was one that Tigers legend Mike Fiers has set off.
He did start the fire. Mike Fiers.
Obviously, yeah. We're alluding to the Astros, and we're not going to get into this because it has been done. I do want to ask you, what is your favorite Altuve excuse? I feel like there's been a few, and I like all of them. Which is your favorite? There was
bad tattoo has to be it, right?
Gotcha. So you're going with that over him being shy?
For sure. Yeah. Oh, my wife doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Yeah, it's all trash.
I think they're all really good. Like, and by that, I think they're all really terrible. It's like you got to know this is coming. You would assume that at some point they're going to work on this story before it gets to the reporters.
Yeah. Do you think they should have more punishment? I mean, do you think they should have their like championship stripped?
I mean, it happens in the NCAA all the time. I think what it comes down to is. Life is about moments, right? Like they still won the exactly. They still won the World Series. Whether there's a banner out in left field, like nobody really cares except for Aaron Judge. You know, I see his case when it comes to Altuve winning the MVP because it likely cost Judge some money. I'm assuming he has some sort of MVP clause in his contract. Well, yeah. But other than that, like you know, the Astros still celebrated on the field. They had all those experiences. It you know. Claiming that there's no winner doesn't give anything to the Dodgers.
Right. So I agree with you. It's hard to get those moments back. I do think an appropriate punishment for them would to be to wear a plain white jersey with black Times New Roman lettering that says cheaters. And they have to wear that for the entire season. The Astros. I think that would just cement in everybody's mind that they cheated and they're cheaters, you know?
Yeah.
You know, a good old fashioned public shaming.
We don't publicly shame enough anymore. I wouldn't say.
Bring back some shame.
Yeah.
I think in this case, I think it's apropos.
Yeah. I thought about this as well. First, so I went more for the, you know, the electronic buzz. So it got me thinking more of an electric type of punishment. I don't know if you remember this.
It's like a shock, like shock collar.
Yeah, I think it's in maybe Casino Royale, one of the Bond movies. Bond ends up with some electricity hooked to his bits and bobs, if you know what I mean. And while I think maybe that is a bit much, I'm not advertising for, or, you know, saying that at all. I do think that some sort of buzz punishment might be in order. Or maybe some sort of like, you know, it's a sign stealing thing. Maybe some sort of having to learn sign language and putting it to some sort of good and charitable use, maybe for kids. I don't know, something like that. I think that's how I would punish Altuve and Bregman. But then again, nobody typically asks me in these type of situations. So,
yeah, samesies.
Yeah. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. That's right.
Show is at Podcastianos. And on the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. And I'm heading down for spring training here, not this, this coming Monday. So there should be loads of spring training photos on the old Instagram. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
We are incredibly excited to be joined on the pod by the general manager of the Erie Seawolves, Greg Coleman. Greg, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us tonight, especially in the midst of the lead-up to opening day.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. You know, it's always exciting. We see some of the best prospects play for sometimes extended periods at Erie. It feels like kind of a epicenter of where the young up and comers are hanging out. Before we talk too much players, I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about Erie. Tell us about Erie, Pennsylvania. You know, the only thing I really know about it is that it's kind of this stereotyped Rust Belt, you know, kind of city. In fact, I saw this one TV show where there's like this millionaire going undercover trying to make a new fortune for himself, and they planted him in Erie. So you know, I expect kind of like Detroit, it's more than meets the reputation, like it's more than the stereotype. What's Erie like? If I were to visit, what's more than the Rust Belt narrative?
Yeah, you know, obviously it is a community that has roots that are, you know, manufacturing oriented, you know, for a number of years. Locomotives were made here through GE Transportation, you know, but it's not just about, you know, it's about, you know, manufacturing. It's become a pretty dynamic place for tourism. Our stadium is located 10 blocks from Lake Erie. Yeah, nice. And yeah, it's really the type of place where you've got four seasons worth of entertainment. So, you know, you've got close access to skiing and snow tubing and snowmobiling and things like that this time of year. And you know, during the summer, you can, you know, get out and do some fishing for walleye or perch, or you know, take a jet ski out on the lake, or hey, you know, go to an Erie Seawolves baseball game.
Of course, naturally.
But it really is it's the type of place where I've had my family be raised here for the last 9 years, I think one thing about Erie is the people are incredibly big-hearted. They're caring. They will give even sometimes when they don't necessarily have the means to give. I think there's something every weekend here like that. You know, whether it is helping the Humane Society, whether it is helping the Autism Society, there's all kinds of different things that you can do here. I'm blown away by the generosity of the people of Erie, and you know, just we have just such a great fan base and a great community. And I think one of the things I would say, we have more amenities than a city of our size should. We have 100,000 people roughly that live in Erie. It's about 280,000 people that live in Erie County itself, but yet we've got sports teams. We've got a zoo. We've got, like I said, all the amenities we talked about. If you can't find something to do in Erie, Pennsylvania, you're not trying.
I think the true test of that is have the hipsters moved into the area? Like, are there the hipster coffee shops and whatnot?
Well, you know what? We're having our own kind of renaissance here, where a lot of things are happening downtown. We do have our own independent coffee house downtown,
naturally.
So I think that's on the front end of it. But we have a downtown development group that is working on adding some residences, and one of the projects that's going to go in the next couple of years, it's actually underway right now, is a new food hall downtown. And so I think that the coffee house was on the front end, and then the food house will be kind of second. And it's going to be exciting to see what Erie looks like in 10 years, because it's going to be great.
That's pretty cool. You know, I think in some ways it sounds like it's kind of kindred spirits with some of the things in Detroit and West Michigan too, where, you know, you have the seasons and recreation and a lot of cool things happening. So that's good. So I do want to move on to a little bit kind of a serious topic here. I'm wondering if you can kind of help us understand the current environment for minor league baseball. And I mean it kind of in context with Major League Baseball announcing their desire to eliminate some of their affiliations with minor league teams. What's your read on it? What does that mean for minor league baseball, and what might it mean in particular for the Seawolves?
Well, I'll start by saying that I don't think the game improves when you reduce access to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be in a situation where you might be reducing access to it in 42 different cities, that to me just, it seems like a misstep. I mean, I'm not the commissioner. I'm not the deputy commissioner. They've got things that they're looking at on a very different scale than what I am in the city of Erie. But, you know, I know that we really haven't seen a proposal that is not detrimental to baseball in a lot of these cities. And sure. While, you know, the short term, you know, some of the cities may do okay, I think a lot of them would be suffering within a couple of years to be able to try to sustain the game. And I just don't think that's, you know, the right move. But again, you know, it's a different problem than I'm dealing with here. They've got a lot of challenges. I think certainly we think that within baseball, there are efficiencies that can be had. I think there are facilities that are not quite right. The fact that the Washington Nationals have a AAA team on the West Coast seems kind of silly. But I think there are a lot of things that can be done to make improvements without necessarily, you know, disturbing the ecosystem in these two cities, because, you know, it's more than just baseball. I mean, it's jobs, it's economic impact. You know, switching gears to the city of Erie, you know, the state of Pennsylvania granted our landlord, which is called Erie Events, $12 million for improvements to our state-owned facility. You know, we haven't even finished putting the bricks up on the building yet, and the prospect of, you know, not being able to have professional baseball there, or affiliated professional baseball, right, certainly is that's a concern, because, you know, the state, you know, views us as being a very important downtown anchor, someone who could really help with that, you know, some of that revitalization that we talked about, right, downtown, and to basically have sort of like a full month of operation before it doesn't exist anymore. That's certainly not what we all envision. So I think I would go a little bit further about our specific situation. I think we're very confident about where things are headed. I think the Tigers, sure, have been a great partner.
Yeah.
I think we were out in front of a number of different things that maybe some other communities were not. We replaced our whole entire field last year. We've made improvements over time. We've got our batting cage, which is a good batting cage. It's only a couple years old, but still, you know, we've got elements. We can do things to make it a little bit better. So we're doing that this off season. And then if and when Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball finally agree on some standards, we'll be making some updates to the clubhouse as well. And once, sure, that's done, you know, I think we'll have touched every single thing that we could touch to make professional baseball, at least on the player development side, as good as it can be. So we feel very confident, and I can't speak highly enough about the Tigers. They've been great advocates for us. I don't want to speak for them, but at the same time, I think, you know, their actions told me that they were caught off guard by this whole thing as well. They've worked very closely with us to try to, if there's a list, get us off of this list.
It sounds like there's going to be some further conversation and hopefully some positive developments on the situation.
I'm confident that this is going to change. I think what we just don't know is, what is this negotiation going to net? I don't think it's going to net 42 teams being without baseball. I do sense that one or two leagues could be in some trouble. That's just my opinion. There's some additional negotiation that's coming up in the next few days. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, in regards to Erie, we feel like between ownership, the community, our major league partner, we feel like we've taken all the right steps to show Major League Baseball we deserve it. We don't have a big market. We don't have, I mentioned the size earlier, but if you put us up against the number of fans we draw with respect to the number of people we have in our market, we're one of the top draws in the Eastern League. And that's, it's really tough because, I tell people this, we were, 10th in the league in average attendance this year. We are the 10th largest market in the Eastern League. If you were to double our market size, we'd still be the 10th largest market in the Eastern League. So we do okay, but we've got a great partner in the Tigers, great partner at Erie Fans, and we're excited.
So let's switch gears a little bit, get away from the serious side of things and get to a bit more of the silly side. It is all the rage in minor league baseball right now to adopt the silly names, the silly logos. You guys went through a bit of a logo change and rebranded a few years ago. What was that process like? Take us through what the process is to kind of reimagine the entire organization from a visual perspective.
Well, I kind of thought our decision was pretty easy. At the time, the parody account, Phil Koch's Brain, I believe he called our logo a cheesy date rape wolf. I believe that's exactly what his words were.
Who would say that?
Really? Yeah, it was colorful. It's a good way to put it. That logo had been in existence. That logo had been in existence, I think, since in some fashion, going back to pre-2000. When I was hired, I was hired in 2011, and there were some things I wanted to do when I came in, and one was just to assess the fan base, assess what they thought of things, and what I quickly found out is that our logo scared women and children.
So
men were cool with it, but that's only one piece of the audience, and so we decided to make a change, and so we asked ourselves the question of, what should that change be? Should we just change the logo? Should our name change? I don't know how good you guys are with geography, but we're next to a lake, not a sea. there's something to be said about that. Now, of course, the name Seawolves ties back. It's slang for pirates. And when we started, we were a Pirates affiliate in the New York Penn League. So there is some history there. But when we evaluated, we realized, look, there's a lot of equity in this name. There's a lot of affinity amongst the fans. They just were scared of that darn wolf. So we went and we took a look at what a wolf could be. And we explored a whole bunch of things. Erie has history, part of the War of 1812. And so we thought, is this a battle wolf? Is this, kind of a naval captain from the War of 1812? What our previous logo was it a pirate? Was it a submarine? Because that's actually something that is tied to the sea wolves as well. So we looked at a bunch of different ideas. In the end, we just thought sticking with the pirate concept was – it was universal. People understood it. We could howl or we could say, "Arr!" There's lots of different ways with it. And so we just felt it was the most robust option of going in any of those directions. So we stayed with it, but we updated it, and you know, we worked with a great designer, Studio Simon in Louisville, Kentucky. They've done a lot of work for us. Just they've done Super Bowl logos, just great stuff. Honestly, once you have a vision, you put it in their hands and they make it happen. And so it was very easy to get from initial concept to final product because they do such great work.
And this is just my perspective. As somebody who very much loves minor league hats, I think you guys did it very well. I think it turned out awesome.
Well, thank you. We're very happy. And I think, you know, I think for us, it's just so versatile. If you look at the wolf, sometimes you can look at it, he looks serious. If you look at it the right way, he can look like he's smirking. We can change the color of the bandana if we've got a cancer awareness game or we want to turn the bandana green for St. Patrick's Day.
You guys did use a lot of different ways. Hat, a beanie at some point for chili.
Yeah, we've got a Snow Wolves version. Spoiler, we will be unveiling soon some holiday-themed versions of the wolf. And I can't tell you exactly what they're going to look like, but they're pretty good.
So one more thing before we get off the whole logo thing. I want to get into the Copa moniker, the pinatas. Where did that come from, and how much fun do you guys take from the whole Copa process? I know it's stirred up a lot of interest around the internet, but in terms of the actual games, do you guys look forward to that?
We do. We love Copa. Yeah, we think it's a great fit. You know, throughout minor league baseball, the opportunity to be able to, take on a different identity, and have some fun with it for a day, and do it in a way that the fans can enjoy something different. It's a different experience. The players, we've got Isaac Paredes from Mexico. You've got different guys from Dominican Republic, Venezuela. For them to be able to basically for us to be able to embrace different aspects of their culture for a game or games, it's just a good time. And it works regardless of where you are. I mean, obviously, you have more Spanish speaking fans if you're in Albuquerque or San Antonio than you have in Erie, Pennsylvania. Sure. But even at that, it allows us to work with groups like the Erie Latino Leadership Association and build bridges. Admittedly, we didn't have a relationship with that organization before COPA existed. And, not only did we make some great connections in the community, we were introduced to somebody who's a local artisan that makes pinatas. Oh, we sold them at the ballpark. And really, how cool is it to have an Erie pinatas pinata that you can have? I mean, it's really neat. So I think it's more than just a logo on a hat or a 3 or 4 game experience. I think it really actually provides a platform to connect with your community. And so we had a great time with it. I'm not gonna lie, we sold a lot of hats. It's a great mark too. I will tell you that we took our fair share of criticism for our choice of mascot. We knew going in, but we kind of thought it was appropriate because the Eastern League's been kind of beating on us like a pinata for the better part of a decade and a half. Not last year. but seriously.
You've got to lean into it sometimes,
Yeah, in all seriousness, we have an owner, a team owner named Fernando Aguirre, and Fernando was born and raised in Mexico, came to the United States to play baseball, and ended up rising through the ranks to become the CEO of Chiquita Brands. To go through the process of developing the logo and the concept with him, with this basically being inspired by his youth growing up and going to parties in Mexico as a child, that was really kind of cool. He was able to put his own touch on it, and I think my experience of that was very different than a lot of the other team GMs or team presidents because of that. So it was cool to see him kind of take it and go to a higher level.
Very cool. So you mentioned Isaac Paredes, and it's kind of the nature of minor league baseball that relationships with players can be kind of fleeting. They come, they go. But I'm wondering if you can tell us about a player or two, a couple players
who made an impact maybe on you personally or your community, or made made an impact on the team, and who are memorable players that you've had through?
That's a tough one. You know, it's like trying to pick your favorite child, right?
Well, I have my favorite child for sure.
But seriously,
lots of great stories from over the years. You know, I would mention, I guess, fan favorites within within Erie, Pennsylvania. I'll kind of start with that rather than my own. You know, he just retired recently, and Curtis Granderson. Grandy still has fans in Erie. Now, that, I have to admit, I came after he was there, but people still talk about how big a heart he had, and how giving of his time he was. And so I know, you know, they certainly fell in love with him. A guy who has got roots in the Tigers organization, but is now managing, I think, in the Diamondbacks organization, Sean Roof. Sean Roof, and didn't you know make it up to the big leagues, but you know, Sean ended up meeting an Erie girl, getting married, you know, the other day he pops in my office just unexpected, and what just. You know, talk about a guy that's a great ambassador for the game of baseball. He's certainly one of those guys. And then, you know, some of the more recent guys, you know, and again, you know, it's tough to pick favorites. But I will tell you that, you know, we certainly enjoyed watching Stephen Moya play when he came through. You know, he set the city of Erie on fire for a couple of months. It was electric to watch him play. You know, and obviously we're excited to see him get up to the big leagues. We're obviously hoping it was going to be a longer stay, but that was a lot of fun. Michael Fulmer, I can't say enough about him on a couple levels. First off, the guy goes up, you know, he's rookie of the year. He still has his Seawolves photo as his Twitter picture. and people ask him why. He's like, man, you got to be humble. You got to remember where you came from. And I was a Seawolf, and I'm like, man, you're the man, Michael. and I got to tell you, I'm not sure a lot of people know this, but last summer, of course, obviously he was injured, and we had our 25th season game at the ballpark, and you know, we had asked, you know, hey, Michael, are you available to come? And he hopped on a plane from Oklahoma City, came in. You know, he couldn't throw out a first pitch, unfortunately, but yeah, he you know, shook hands and took photos and signed autographs, and you know, Michael's the type of guy you want to root for. So, and you know, look, there's too many to pick. You know, last year's group of guys was a really great group of guys. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about them. You can't have this conversation without talking about Chase Numata, you know, unfortunately was taken from us too soon, and just a world-class teammate. But it's fun. You just can't pick them, but those are some of my memories and some of the folks I know Erie has felt special about.
So this isn't a scripted question. I hadn't imagined asking this, but I'm remembering it now seeing you talk. Is it kind of a meme or an ongoing thing where you guys are rarely getting rehab players? Did I see you talking about? I feel like the Whitecaps occasionally will get somebody. Obviously, the Mudhens get somebody. But do you find this a little frustrating that you're not getting any rehab folks?
Well, I mean, sure, I'd love to rehab every day. Who wouldn't? I mean, I'm all for making my job easier, right? Okay, yes. Look, I think we're aware of, you know, our role in the Tigers organization. And you know, look, I've been a bunch of different places. I was the GM in Modesto, California. I worked for the Yankees organization in Trenton, New Jersey, which talk about folks who have rehabs. Every other day. I'm pretty sure most of their starting rotation for the Eastern League Championship Series last year were Yankees. you know, it's one of those things where, look, we're cognizant. You know, Grand Rapids is closer. You know, you got to drive past Toledo to get to us. If somebody has a serious medical issue, being with the doctors in Lakeland makes more sense.
Yeah.
So. I try to explain to folks that, look, you know, we are, to have a rehab in Erie, you're threading a needle.
Yeah, the stars have to align for you.
Those teams I mentioned, your Toledo and your West Michigan, they have to be on the road. We have to be home. So I get it. And I think we've had one, maybe two in the last 10 years. It's frequent. I think the most recent one, I think, was Daniel Norris, I think. It's just got to be the right situation. And, would we like to see more? Sure, we absolutely would. Fans get excited about it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we understand it's about health, it's about development, and it's got to be convenient. It's got to make sense. So we support the Tigers in what they decide to do.
We'll put in a word with Guardy next time we see him, see if we can hook you guys up. So you alluded to it a little bit ago, the just incredible rotation that you guys had this past year. Obviously, you're a busy man and you have many responsibilities throughout the baseball game. How much did you have a chance to just stop and enjoy, like, holy crap, there is a lot of talent in this pitching staff right now?
Often enough to know that there was a lot of talent. It was fun. It was fun last year. Some years you have and you can't make it click, or you make it click and you make it click for like 3 weeks, right? So last year, to be able to see Mize, throw a no-hitter in his debut. Alex Fiedo, partnered up with Drew Carlton on a no-hitter. So I my numbers are, they're close. They might not be dead on, but I think we had one no-hitter, like one nine-inning no-hitter, something like that, in our first 24 years, and then we had two in the span of 5 days. It's got to be close to that. But to see those guys go out and do that, boy, just fun. And, and those guys I just mentioned, they did well last year, but then you see some other guys like Matt Manning, just so amazingly consistent and, he's going to be good, right? I mean, he's got such a long body and just a nice delivery. Scooble. Man, it's like every single time this guy goes out, he strikes out 10, right? It was really, really special. My only, obviously, regret is, we missed the playoffs. We finished in a tie in the second half, and that means that we lost the tiebreaker. Because we had the best team in the league last year, and somehow or another, it didn't happen. So, side note, the Eastern League changed its postseason format last year. And if the Eastern League hadn't voted to change its postseason format, we would have been in the playoffs. But because we changed the format, we missed the playoffs.
Sounds like the fix was out for you guys. Yeah.
It happens. But I will tell you, we did go and change the tiebreaker system because of us. So nice. We had an impact on the rules. So
one might say that's even more important than any individual season, wins or losses. Changing the system from within. So you guys are obviously known for your crazy food. Who is the inspiration behind all that innovation? And do you have a personal favorite of some of the fancy concoctions?
we've had a couple of people that have kind of been at the center of that. So Chef Ed Coleman, he's been behind a couple of our fan favorites, one of them being the Rocket Dog. And the Rocket Dog is a grilled Smith's hot dog. Smith's is a locally made hot dog. It is the only hot dog you're allowed to eat in Erie, Pennsylvania. Trust me, if you don't carry Smith's, you're in trouble. And I will tell you that, this is probably more proprietary than people would want to know. I pay like a third more for my hot dogs than every other team in the Eastern League because they're that good and folks got to have their Smiths.
Yeah.
So it's a great Smith's hot dog. You've got bacon on there, pulled pork, mac and cheese that's made, homemade. And, it's a meal, right? Yeah. A little barbecue sauce drizzle on there.
Sign me up. Let's go.
That one was voted the top overall, item in minor league baseball, I think probably about 3 years ago is when it was. And so, the chef's had his hands on a few of those, but probably the one we are most famous for, or infamous is probably more like it, is the world famous cotton candy hot dog.
Yeah.
And this is one of those ones that it's a story you can't make up, but it just kind of tells you the power of the internet. We were having a promotion, and it was called Sugar Rush Night. And the idea behind it was just a candy-themed promotion. We had this giveaway, and it was inspired by Willy Wonka. And you had golden tickets, and and it just all the promotions were tied around sweets. And as part of any promotion or theme night like that we would do, we want to try to have one or two food items that tie back to it. And our director of food and beverage at the time, who's moved on to another job, Tom Ando, Tom came in with a couple of different ideas, and one idea made a lot of sense, another idea made a lot of sense, and we were just trying to figure out a third thing. And he threw out this idea of the cotton candy hot dog, which is a hot dog in a cotton candy shell of a bun, topped with Nerds.
Yeah, the Nerds are the kicker that first, do it.
But Nerds was the closest thing that didn't make you want to throw up in your mouth. And so we kind of look around the room at this, and I go to the staff. I'm like, anybody got anything better? You guys, is this – we good?
We're doing
this. This just because speak up now. If you got something better, let me know, right? nobody has anything better. I'm like, all right, Tom, go with it. And we roll it out. And we learned a very valuable lesson, which is to put your food items out well in advance of your promotional night, because we put it out that Saturday. Within the hour, Deadspin had it. And it's like the cotton candy hot dog. It'll be the ballpark treat that'll kill us all, and so it put us in a very weird situation, because the folks found out about this item after the game had been played.
Oh no!
So we put it out like noon or 1 o'clock, and all of a sudden this thing just spirals out of control. And we made a decision at that point, like, we got to carry this thing for the rest of the season because people are going to come and ask. We don't have a choice, right?
You don't.
So we did. And it was funny because the first day that we had this, we sold like four of them, right?
Right, right.
And then within 3 days, we were selling 100 a night. Just because people had to try it. And I had a side note to it. We got pulled into the principal's office a little bit because our local health department didn't love the idea of Erie being the home of the Erie the cotton candy hot dog, which the night before they called us had made it to Jimmy Fallon's monologue, and right. So it's like literally you're just sitting in a room. You're like, anything got any better? Anything got any better? And next thing you know, you're in Jimmy Fallon.
So tell us, what is the essence of this food? I have not eaten it. I'm assuming you have, as the leader that you are, you've eaten one of these. Yes,
there's photographic evidence of me eating one for sure. So, it is a very delicate ecosystem of a meal, right? Okay, so if you make this bun. But you gotta have it pretty much fresh, because even if you wait 10 minutes, the cotton candy is just gonna shrivel up. It's not gonna look very good.
It looks awesome at the beginning.
It is three tastes that all in and of themselves are good tastes. That as you have them, you taste them individually. They don't go well together.
This is the stupidest idea ever, and because it is, it's brilliant.
It is. It is one of those things that just caught lightning in a bottle, and I guess we're proud to say we're home with a cotton candy hot dog, and we've come up with some really good ideas. But sometimes it's just better to be lucky and memorable than good.
Literally, yes. I'm just. Really impressed with the job that you guys do, and the logo change was good. All the social media you guys do is always done very excellently, and I'm just grateful that you came on and spent some of your time chatting with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. And if I can put in one plug,
absolutely.
We've got We've got ballpark renovations that are going on right now. It's they're you know, most of the things will be ready to go for opening day. A few of the things will be, you know, get into about mid-season. But you know, if I can encourage Tigers fans, if you haven't made it out to UPMC Park, circle a date on your calendar later in the year. Come see the final project we've been working on, because we're adding a team store, a stadium club, renovated restrooms, concessions, suite level, party deck. I mean, the place is going to be fantastic. And it's already a nice place to watch a game, but it's just going to get that much better. So, if you're interested in seeing, the future of the Tigers, and seeing it in a nice updated ballpark,
yep,
where there's not a bad seat, you know, come join us later this summer.
We should do that. We should do a road trip out there.
Absolutely. I think as Tigers fans, we owe it to ourselves, especially with the current state of the big league club. Like you talk about the future, this is really an amazing time to take in some of these experiences, and Erie sounds like a fantastic place to come check out some baseball.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. The Tigers fans are very supportive. We always see when there are long weekends, like Memorial Day, that type of thing, folks make the trip down. It's a great time. And we appreciate their support. We appreciate your support.
Thank you for coming on. If you guys want to follow Greg on Twitter, he is at SeaWolvesGM, which is also his position. And just like he said, let's get out and support all of our minor league affiliates this year. Thanks so much, Greg.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, friends, we are back, and this is my opportunity to feature my power rankings. Is that right, Jordan?
Yeah,
sure. Are we going to do some power rankings?
Let's power rankings.
Tomorrow morning, I leave for Florida, and I'm going to take an airplane down there because that's a quick and efficient way of travel. But the flight, you got a car, you got a hotel. You need to pay for these things. They just don't give it for free.
That's true. Confirm.
So all these reservations need you to pay for them. So I got to be thinking about heading down there. You know, do I have, you know, my credit card? Do I need some cash? What other means am I? How am I going to pay for all this stuff? You know, a lot of entertainment, drinks. So I have for you the top seven and the worst three ways to pay for things.
Okay, this is good.
All right.
I'm liking this. All right.
All right. Starting in at seventh from the best is a wire transfer. Now, wire transfers are really good for action movie plots.
True.
And if you're trying to move a lot of money to somebody.
Which, let's be honest, we all are.
Yeah. Like, if you're buying a house, you're paying it typically from the bank to the title company, usually, with a wire transfer. Are you writing this down, Hall?
Yes, jotting it down. You don't need a large briefcase of money, need wire transfer.
No, not bills.
No bills.
Typically wire transfer. But, I mean, a wire transfer is a pain, and there can be fraud, and, you know, somebody with a Swiss bank account, you know, in the Caymans could steal money from you or whatever.
Those feel like very different places, just for our geographically challenged listeners.
Yeah, just roll with me here, Hall.
Okay.
Okay, number six from the best is a check, a good old-fashioned check. Now, the check has kind of been dogged lately because it's associated with old women in the grocery store writing things out at a slow pace. Am I wrong?
Because that is the only people who use checks.
Kind of is true. But the checking system and checks are a modern marvel. I mean, you write on a piece of paper, like, the amount of money you want to give to somebody, you give it to them, and they can just go and have that money. It's amazing.
I feel like that one's right up there with the mail. Like, why do we still do this? Like, how is this still a thing?
But you think about how many bills are paid with checks yet. Like, business to business stuff, checks are still pretty important.
Yeah, let's go ahead and stop that. Maybe when I run for president, that'll be my platform. No more checks.
You're such a hipster. Some checks yet. Okay, fifth from the best, or number five, I guess this would be Apple Pay or Google Pay or Samsung Pay or Huawei Pay or whatever on your phone, the Chinese Pay. So these are kind of convenient. You don't need to carry a credit card, but I always feel like I still need to carry a credit card in case it doesn't work or something.
That's fair.
And I mean, really, these are just a credit card portal. Like, they need to be linked to it. It's not like, oh, I'm paying with my phone. No, you're paying with your credit card, foo.
Right. It's like a glorified Starbucks app.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. It should maybe be lower. No, I'm talking myself out of it. Anyway, number four is a debit card. So it has much of the same functionality as a credit card, but there's always just like extra steps. Get the number, or you can't do a reserve, or you got it's fine, but it's still handy. I mean, it's a card. Okay. Number three is the electronic bank bill pay.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You like log in and you assign it to pay your electric bill on the third of each month or whatever. It's pretty good. That's pretty handy. Like, you just make sure you have enough of money in your account and it just pays your stuff for you. Or even you can even do it manually. She's like, pay this. You don't have a stamp. You're not filling out a check. It's pretty good. I like it. It's third.
Okay.
All right. Number two is straight cash, homie. Cash money. It's good almost anywhere. It's impressive. When you plunk down a couple Benjamins for something, you have a little swagger.
In what scenario do you have a couple Benjamins on you? I mean, I know you're a man of independent wealth, but I don't. I literally have $0 in my wallet right now, but at no point have I ever had a $100 bill in my wallet.
For real?
For real. I'm a man of the people.
I'm not going to tell you where to find.
But
my dad always taught me. My dad always taught me. He's like, oh, yeah, you got to have a couple hundreds tucked in your wallet just in case.
I mean, that's solid advice, but.
So, I mean, I'm not telling you how much I currently have in my wallet, but usually
but
I have.
It is north of 2,000, yeah.
Just in case, you know, I don't know. Although cash is running into a little bit of trouble. The airline I'm flying down on is a cash-free airline. You may not pay with anything to that airline in cash. Yeah, you have to have.
And I kind of get that. I'm sure it's a security feature.
Well, they just don't want to deal with it.
Also
they're
true.
Lazy. I don't know. Okay, number one, this should be pretty self-evident. We've come a long ways, but what is the best and easiest way to pay for stuff?
See, I thought you were going to get real creative based on a certain amusement park that you're about to go to.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. You're thinking about the colorful wristwatch
thing. Yeah, the magic bands.
Oh, the magic. That's what they're called.
Come
right?
on. You spent enough time at Disney. You really should know the lingo.
Yeah, I should. Though that's even a fancier version of Apple Huawei Pay or whatever.
Mickmouse Pay. Yeah.
So what is the answer?
I would assume credit cards.
Yes, okay. It is the credit card. It's easy. They keep a record for you. You just pay one bill every month. Hopefully. Got to pay that balance, friends. I know it is credit, but no, you need to pay for those purchases. And if there is any fraud or something like that, typically, you know, any decent credit card is going to back that up. So credit card for me is number one. It's easy. Yeah, all that's right. Number one.
I'm curious what's left to go in the bottom three here.
The three worst ways to pay for something. Number three from the worst is Venmo.
What? You are so old. Venmo is the lifeline of people my age and younger.
I never use it. I signed up for it. Now, if I wanted to use it, I don't know. Like, is there, do I have a password I got to do? Venmos me money. Like, how do I use it again? It's just another thing. I don't need another thing in my life. Don't Venmo me
money. It is the easiest thing in the world. You are so old. Anyway.
It's true. Number second from the worst is PayPal. I had a credit sent to me on PayPal. Is like $5, and I ended up spending like an hour trying to figure out how to get this $5 and use it. It was just a royal pain in the hinder.
You can pay for a lot of stuff on the internet with PayPal.
Yeah, I mean, I've used it. I do use it. I mean, it's linked to my stuff, and you can buy stuff easy. But it's just kind of cumbersome again.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Venmo is PayPal taken to the next level.
Yeah, I get it. That.
Anyway.
Okay, the number one worst, without a doubt, clear-cut, absolute abomination way to pay for stuff is what?
I literally can't think of any other ways to pay for anything.
Gift cards. Gift cards are awful. I don't like them because you're always forgetting to use them. So
okay,
that's hanging around. You're just hanging around. You get a stack of gift cards. You're not hauling that around with you. Plus, you know what you're taking with you? Your credit card.
You don't have enough room in your wallet because of all those hundreds in there.
Yeah, because I have, you know, money that I can use
for
anywhere.
Us poor, we have room in our wallet for gift cards.
You know, and the worst thing for me is when you use a gift card someplace, and so then you have like $1.20 left on it. What am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to carry it around for another 4 years until I buy something from this store again?
Yeah.
It bothers me that it's on there. And also, like, if I go to a restaurant or something like that and I have a gift card, I feel kind of cheap for plunking down the gift card instead of like a normal way to pay. Like,
you realize that at some point someone along the line paid for said, it's not like there is a lack of money or investment here. You're still paying with actual currency. It's just been branded.
Like, can I leave a tip with a gift card?
I think so. I think you can actually leave a gift card to a different establishment as a tip. Next level.
Oh, that's a good idea. Like, gather up all my remnant gift cards and plunk them down.
$1.20 to the Apple store. Here, have $4.26 to Burger King.
Here, Brittany, enjoy these, you know, or what? I don't know why my server's name is Brittany, but yeah. So gift cards, I mean, they're fine, but no, they're not. I take it back.
All gifts I'm ever going to give you from here to eternity are now going to be gift cards.
Thanks.
Fact.
Or gift cards. Anyway, that's power rankings for this week. So I'm excited to head down and check out Joker Marchant and in Publix Field. I have to get the branding in there, which always annoys me.
Yeah,
but anyway, we'll check out Joker Marchant. And I'm excited. Zimmerman is starting. Oh, we have starting pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, hang on. Let's go back to that previous sentence. I'm excited. Zimmerman is starting. I don't think that anyone has ever uttered that phrase before.
Well, the real possibility is limb fragments fly across the field in a spectacular
like shrapnel.
Fashion.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I could be there for that. Yeah, I mean,
that is an experience you would tell the grandkids about.
I really would. Okay, so I have warped expectations about the Tigers.
It is nice that you are going to Lakeland, though. You should get to see plenty of the regulars, if only for four innings or whatever.
Yeah, you know. Honestly, it's just about walking around, having a beverage, sitting on the berm, watching the guys in the bullpen, just, you know, being a part of the experience. And even if you can't go down, just to watch the videos on Twitter or your favorite media outlet and see the guys throwing the old ball back and forth in some sunshine and green grass. Like, this time of year in Michigan, your soul needs a little bit of rejuvenation.
Yeah.
Does it not?
Have you been down since they've done the renovation beyond the outfield?
No.
Oh,
no.
You're working on it. It's very well done. It's awesome.
Isn't it like the concourse supposed to look like a runway or something like that?
I think that is the idea. And then you have like the front office is beyond the runway, and it kind of it's supposed to look like military barracks. Like it's probably that's what it well, is. Yeah. And yeah,
that's cool.
And you can more or less be right on top of the bullpen, which is pretty much my favorite thing at any ballpark.
That's cool. Yeah. So Friday is the first game against, what is it, Southeastern, some kind of college. And Scooble, I think, is starting that game, isn't he?
Yeah, dude, you should have left a little bit earlier and tried to get down for that one.
Yeah, well, we, you know, it's a compromise. I'm in a marriage, so, you know, we're going to do something fun on Friday. We're going to check out some Disney.
Yeah, get your magic band, man.
Hard pass on that. Use my credit card.
Can see you walking around Disney with a bright pink magic band. Yeah, for sure.
I can make anything look good at all. You know that. But then Zimmerman on Saturday. I'll be there for that. So, and yes, I'm excited even for Zimmerman.
Well, that's exciting. You'll have to post lots of. Yeah, so we're flying down Monday morning.
Okay.
It's, game like schedule. Like, if. 4 days from now, whatever it is.
Got it.
Yeah, game schedule to be determined. For sure seeing them in Port Charlotte on Thursday. Other than that, I mean, let's be honest, team's not real great. I'm not in like a huge hurry to see a bunch of Tigers games. I'd maybe rather see some other teams before I watch the Tigers for 162 games.
You do know
this
is like a Tigers podcast, right?
Everyone else is with me. They all are right there with me. And all right. The worst thing is last spring I spent the entire time trying to line up and see Blaine pitch. Can't even do that this year. I'm so bummed.
Yeah, it's downer.
To be fair,
we'll find new favorites.
Will
I'm sure.
we though? I lost him and Verhagen in like 2 days. That was a tough stretch for me. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Dry your tears. We got to move on.
But anyway, you post lots of pictures. I'll obviously be posting lots of pictures, and together we can dream about the forthcoming season and all of those big old victories.
We'll be back here in a week or so to talk about it.
Yes, spring training schedule will be kind of hit or miss. We'll get into more of a regular schedule once the season starts.
Probably.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. By the time we get through the season, I'll have that one down. Show is at Podcastianos. Probably. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. And as always, take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for another week?
I just hope your soul is rejuvenated and you pursue all your goals and rise above.
Wow.
Take flight.
That was deep. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.